Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa, hold on. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. You. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. Hey. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. Talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Hey. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Yeah. Take my shoes and walk a mile, something that you can't do. Woo. Hey. Big talks of the town, big boy gang moves. Gang moves. I like to walk around with my chain loose. Chain, chain. She just bought a new, but got the same booze. Same booze. Whipping up dope for scientists. Whip it up, cook it up, cook it up. That's my sauce where you find it. That's my sauce where you look it up, find it. Adding up checks, no minus. Adding up, add it up, add it up, add it up. Yeah. Get your respect in diamonds. I bought a plain Jane, roll it, did bought they fame. Woo. I think my back got scoliosis, cause I swerved the lane. Heard you signed your life for that brand new chain. I heard. Think it came with stripes, but you ain't straight with the game. Gang, gang. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk yeah. It, walk it like I talk it. Talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Let's go.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it.
Yeah.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it.
Hey, I gotta stay in my zone. Say that we been beefing, dog, but you on your own. First night, she gon' let me, cause we grown. I hit her, gave her back to the city, she home. That was that, so I can't be beefing with no whack. Got no backbone. Heard you living in a mansion and all your raps, though. But your shit look like the trap on his Google Maps, though. We been brothers since Versace Bando, whoa. Name ringing like Amigo trap phone, whoa. Used to be with Vashti at Santos. That's on Tommy Campos. We live like Sopranos. And I
walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk
yeah.
It, walk it like I talk it.
Talk it.
Walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Talk it.
Walk it like I talk it.
Let's go.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it.
Yeah.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
All set.
Pocket, watch it. I want that, that, this, that, menage.
Which one?
I bought a franchise to double up the profit.
Franchise.
You make a landslide, chopper, get the pop.
Landslide.
Elliot got me rockets.
Rocket.
Plug, socket, chicken teriyaki. Take off rocket, keep them in pocket. Water gon' lock it. Quadruple the profit.
Profit.
I walk like I walk,
hey.
Talk like I talk.
Ooh.
What's in my vault? Load of cash and the sauce. I put a lab in my loft.
Lab.
She cook up and jab with the fault.
Jam.
By the pair, I got carrots that troll.
By the pair,
I got carrots each load.
By the pair.
Private life, private just round the globe. Hit a lick with the choke.
Walk, walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it. Walk
yeah.
It, walk it like I talk it.
Talk it.
Walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Talk it.
Walk it like I talk it.
Let's go.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it.
You.
Walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Watch a buck, no Milwaukee,
honey.
Walk it like I talk it. That's my bro, he know the lingo.
Lingo.
Ain't no fucking talking.
No.
Listen, you know why don't we know?
We know.
Hold out on that coffin, smoke the cookie, get the coffin. Drop that fresh, I need a coffin. Callin' something we do often.
Ball.
The pot and I splayin' on dolphins.
Splayin'.
The nine and go by me a faucet.
Nah.
Walk it like I talk a n***a and bought it.
Oh.
I paid a coat, so I gotta call it.
Call.
I been the shrimp, so n***a just down me.
Fuck in the building, that's all the problem.
I get a rebound and tuckin' my spouting.
Ball.
Walk it. Like I talk it,
walk it,
walk it like I talk it,
walk yeah.
It, walk it like I talk it,
talk it,
walk it like I talk it,
woo,
walk it like I talk it,
walk it,
walk it like I talk it, walk it like I talk it,
talk it,
walk it like I talk it,
let's go,
walk it like I talk it,
walk it,
walk it like I talk it,
woo,
walk it like I talk it, walk it like I talk it,
hey,
walk it like I talk it,
walk it,
walk it like I talk it,
you,
walk it like I talk it, walk it like I talk it.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Man, it is a good, beautiful, whatever it takes, Wednesday. And I'm your host, Dr. Harrison Jones IV, author of Used to hate school, five silver principles for success in education. It's in your mind, why, Dr. Jones Moon Chen. Again, whatever it takes Wednesday, that's the day where you get up, you wake up, you decide that you're going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes to accomplish your goal, accomplish your dream, fulfill your purpose, and go towards success. So, just review, you're my why. You're my why is an army. It's a tribe of educators, or anyone for that matter, that has a purpose and has been trying to define their purpose for doing what they do best. If you're a teacher, your purpose, your why, is ultimately you're there because you love kids. If you're a doctor, you're there for your patients. Good morning, boy. How are you doing this morning? If you're a lawyer, you're a speaker. If you're any of those fields, you need to get into the idea that you are there for the people that you're meant to serve. So you're my why. Ultimately is a movement. It's a movement for everyone to rededicate themselves to their purpose for being in their job, for their purpose for starting their business, for their purpose for serving their family, for their purpose for serving others, and driving that purpose to change the world. Walking into your purpose is very important, and understanding your reasoning is the reasoning that we're here and the reason why we're trying to make things happen for ourselves. I was driving from Austin, Texas yesterday, and in my car, I actually have a truck, and I was driving, and I was thinking to myself how when you have a dream, and when you're in a dream, your dream's kind of, you know, you don't always remember every detail of your dreams, but there are some important parts that you see in your dreams that, you know, that are kind of implanted into your subconscious. And when you're going through your daily walk and when you're seeing that your dreams are being fulfilled, you kind of forget that you actually had that dream, and you kind of deny that your dreams have become a reality. But I'm here to tell you that your dreams do become a reality. You see the possibilities. And I say that again. You can see the possibilities, and you see them, and you visualize them in your dreams. And then when you see them happening, they may not happen the way they happen exactly in your dreams, but you can make those things happen as long as you focus on positivity, as you focus on making it happen and denying the negativity that is in your head. A wise man once said that 70% of the thoughts in our head are negative. 70% of the thoughts that we have on a regular basis in our head are negative. Well, I take that and I flip that to say, well, if you have 70% of the thoughts that are in your head are negative, as a math person, and I've been a math person my entire life, that means that 30% are positive. And so 30%, that's about 30 cents. That's about 3 out of 10 of your thoughts are positive. So we want to flip that. What would your life be like if you just turn the tables? If 7 out of the 10 thoughts that you had on a daily basis were positive, 7 out of 10 of the things that you did, 7 out of the 10 things that you said to someone, 7 out of the things that you said to your spouse, 7 out of the things that you said 7 out of 10 of the things that you said to your students, 7 out of 10 of the things that you said to your coworkers were positive. How would your day go from that point on? So today on Whatever It Takes Wednesday, I'm going to challenge you. Go ahead and 7 of the conversations that you have. If you have 10 people that you talk to, and I think most of the people that are listening in, well, you know, they're headed to work this morning, or they might still be asleep. We'll see. If you interact with 10 people today, 7 of those conversations, maybe just say a compliment to someone. Say, you know, that they have a nice smile, or they're, you know, that you compliment their outfit, or talk about something that they've done positive in your life or someone else's life. And 7 of those 10 people, and you'll watch how your day, watch how your daily walk, watch how your thoughts become more positive. Watch how you are able to make a difference in not only their lives, but your life, just by simply making a charge and making it your mission to have 7 out of 10 positive things. I see you have Justin Smith, Matt Lee, thank you for joining in. Robert Moore, thank you for joining in again. Here we go. We have our producer today. I want to introduce you again. Hakeem Newborn, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, sir. I'm well. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right. How are things out there in New York area?
We're in Philly, and we are happy. The sun isn't baking us anymore for a couple more days.
Yeah. Sometimes in the middle of August, like it's coming up in Texas, I envy the East Coast because they have ways to get out of it. In Texas,
yes.
We just deal with it every single day. Gets about 100 degrees. 104 degrees. I think I read on the temperature gauge here that this day is 104 degrees. That is I try not to go outside because as soon as I go outside, I start sweating like nobody's business. So I try to, you know, stay inside. If I'm outside, I try to get into the truck as soon as possible and crank that AC up on 20, 25 as high as possible. With all the cold air, I don't know if you've been in a Toyota Tundra, but the cold air in there it's almost like freezing in there. So I'm glad that your heat wave is over in New York, because I'm in the East Coast, because even I know it's even dealing with that.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, today I wanted to focus on our topic. Our today's topic, because it is Minority Health Awareness Month, and I, you know, personally find this something that's very important to myself. And as an educator, I think that focusing on mental health is a very, very, very important issue, because when you have students or you interact with, I know as a teacher when I first began, there was 105 students I had in the classroom, 105 Algebra 1 students. And I know Algebra 1 is a tough subject. And so I had to deal with different personalities, different students on a regular basis. And you had to get to know those students and develop relationships with those students. So today, in order to get more informed or provide our audience on the You're My Why, Dr. Jones Morning Show, with some informative nature, we have a guest in, Dr. Lindy Jones. Dr. Lindy Jones is a licensed professional counselor. I believe she's been in counseling for over 20-plus years, serving from the school counseling level all the way up from middle school to the high school level, and she's had different experiences. So I would love to introduce you all to our guest this morning, Dr. Lindy Jones.
Okay. Good morning, Dr. Jones. I'm really excited about being here with you today, and I'm just thrilled that you chose the topic of mental health matters, because this is extremely important topic for me. One thing that we need to start off by just letting individuals know about the statistics in relating to mental health. Five adults have a mental health condition. That is equivalent to over 40 million Americans. That's actually more than the populations of New York and Florida combined. Another fact, youth mental health is worsening. The rates of youth with severe depression increased from about 6% in 2012 to over 8% in 2015. Even with severe depression, 76% of our youth are left with no or insufficient treatment. One of the positives, though, that is surrounding mental health is that more Americans have access to the services. In other words, there has been in the last few years an increase in trying to offer treatment for adults as well as youth who are actually uninsured. But unfortunately, most Americans still lack access to care. Also, another major issue is there's a serious mental health workforce shortage. We do not have as many social workers or licensed professional counselors or psychologists that are actually in a profession. Therefore, it's going to be difficult, in other words, to treat the rising problems with mental health. So I think that just by saying these statistics, just to bring everyone aware to the problem that it is prevalent in the United States, and there is a call to action, you know, that something needs to be done in order to decrease the amount of mental health issues that we have.
Dr. Jones?
When they are in middle school to high school. So, therefore, targeting the schools and seeing what they're doing as far as mental health is extremely important.
Dr. Jones,
one thing I appreciate is that you talked about the saying the positive affirmations to yourself and individuals throughout the day. This is actually something that can as far as working with or decreasing the mental illness of individuals by having them to have a positive outlook, or you just having a positive outlook, then spread that to others. One of the things that happens or that we realize, seeing that 1 in 5 youth fail with mental health,
Dr. Jones,
while these individuals receive service, they're undiagnosed. Opportunity to identify and treat mental health conditions. Now, we're not saying that we're actually take over that role of becoming mental health providers, but they can actually serve to identify and treat the conditions by allowing them to be exposed to the resources that are out, and implementing programs that can really reduce the stigma that's are we still on? Hello?
Dr. Jones? Dr. Jones? Dr. Jones? Dr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Okay, continue.
All right. Dr. Jones?
All right, she just called back in. I'm going to patch her back through.
Okay.
But she hung up too, so let's put her back in. All right.
Dr. Jones, thank you, sir. We just had some technical difficulties, but glad you're back with us. I just wanted to have some questions. Maybe you know we're talking about, you know, as an African-American male, you know, growing up and being in the situation where we have a masculinity. Some of us, you know, how did you get past as a black male the tough guy mentality, or the mentality where you just won't go seek help?
Okay, Dr. Jones, that's a great question. One thing we like to emphasize is that mental health does not discriminate. It occurs in all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups, and it's one of the leading causes of a disability in the United States. Now, the thing that is the issue is, and they're bringing it to mind with your question, is that most ethnic minorities have similar prevalence rates of mental health issues, just like those of the Caucasian race. However, they have less access to mental health services and, as you said, are less likely to seek and receive needed care. And then when they receive it, they're more likely to get poor quality care. So this leads to the disparities among ethnic minorities and especially African-American males as far as seeking the help that they need, and therefore you have a lot of unmet mental health care needs. So what can be done? One of the things that can be done is to just decrease the stigma associated with having a mental health illness. In other words, increase the awareness about the mental health among African-American males, and that would basically just starting a conversation. In other words, to dispel the myths, like what you're doing on this show, dispel the myths associated with mental health problems and you know, let them know the importance of seeking treatment. You know, there is an expectation that men be tough, coupled with poor access to mental health services. That does leave men of color struggling with mental illnesses, especially, and then this causes them to be susceptible to substance abuse, homelessness, incarceration, and homicide. So the first step is to increase the awareness about mental health, and then have initiatives in place, in other words, so that they can be available to seek treatment. You know, like you said, as far as that masculinity issues with males, another issue is just basically for minorities and mental health is just basically looking at things such as your religious beliefs. In other words, we know that our Heavenly Father is a creator of everything, but a lot of times because of their culture and religious beliefs, they think that if they pray about a situation, then their mental illness will go away. So we just have to really be advocates for eliminating some of these barriers and the stigmas, lack of discussion on mental health, so that individuals can seek proper treatment.
So what about those that are considering the suicide situation? What about those that have issues with that? Well, where can they go for help?
Okay, some of the things that we need to do as a society is realize that suicide is a problem that's a community problem. In other words, individuals get to the point where they do need help, and a lot of times because of the stigma associated with mental illnesses, they do not have anyone to turn to. But we realize that as a community, we need to come together and actually get awareness as to all those symptoms and signs of mental health disorders. What are the signs of depression? What are the signs of various disorders that could actually lead to an individual wanting to commit suicide? In other words, the increase in drug abuse, the lack of healthy coping techniques. In other words, when we see those signs as a community, then we should be able to refer them to the proper resources. There are community resources that are designed to help individuals, and the stigma associated with mental health illness, there are several organizations that are out there to help. For example, we have an organization that is designed for prevention of suicide and awareness, and they sponsor an Out of Darkness walk every year to bring attention to the number of individuals who have lost their lives to suicide. But just being a support, looking at the community resources, and then connecting the individuals who are demonstrating those symptoms that we come to recognize that can lead to potential suicide can be a big plus in decreasing the suicide rate. And this goes especially important for students in school, seeing that there is an issue within young people actually committing suicide, attempting and then actually falling through and committing. Recognize the symptoms and the signs and actually using a program in place so that students, first of all, can become empathetic toward other students. In other words, restoring that empathetic culture in the schools so that the students can recognize the behavior in their peers. And mainly, when you're in the school system, if a child is actually having suicidal thoughts, more than likely they will let a peer know before they report it to any adult. So, in other words, equipping the students to know the signs and what they can do, or how they are actually able to report it and realize this isn't something that they need to keep to themselves.
So what I suppose you give some advice. What advice would you give specifically to teachers or educators that are dealing with students you think with mental illness? I've seen where we've had situations where, you know, teachers might, you know, they might have individuals that they might put off to the side or just try to ignore it. But what advice would you give teachers that have students that they have that have mental illness?
Yes. And one thing is, being an educator, I do know and I recognize the important role that teachers play in the lives of the students. They have to actually provide the curriculum content, in other words, teach every day in the classroom. And then they have to make sure that the students are ready to learn. And a lot of times the teachers are so focused on that that they may not recognize the different signs that the students are having that will indicate that they are struggling with a mental illness. But the important thing is that the school districts, the schools need to, first of all, give some type of training to the teachers so they can be aware of the signs that indicate that a student has a mental illness or that they're showing the signs of suicide. This is extremely important so that the teachers can be aware. And then we also, there's a mandated reporting that if the teachers do notice any signs or symptoms, that they are to report them. And it's usually to the school counselor or to any other mental health profession that is on the campus, and also to the administrator, so that that student can receive the proper care. And the thing is, we don't want the teachers to determine whether or not they think the child is serious or what it is. In other words, they don't have to do any diagnosis. They just need to report it and hand it off, you know, a warm handoff to the school counselor or to an administrator, so that the child's parents can be notified and that they can get the proper care. It's extremely important to just educating the teachers on the awareness of the signs and so forth associated with depression, with suicide. You see a sudden change in a student's behavior. You see that they may be deciding that they are going to all of a sudden don't want to be involved in different activities. We even talk about the thing of them giving items away. These are just different things that can occur because as teachers, they actually see the students a lot of times more than anyone else interacts with the students. So it's extremely important that they are vigilant and they are aware of the community resources that are available that can help them to recognize the signs and then refer the students out, you know, to the proper individuals so that they can receive the care that they need.
Oh, man. So let's try to flip this from here to from out of school building to like in regular life outside of maybe work or school. And one of the things I've heard about, you know, I can't deal with someone that is bipolar. You know, I hear this as a male that you can't deal with a girl. Oh, she's bipolar or she's depressed. Like, but can someone have a healthy relationship with someone and that they have a mental disorder?
Oh, yes, definitely they can. Think about this, that in other words, the whole key to individuals and mental disorders is that they are receiving the proper treatment. There have been very positive results of individuals who have disorders, such as the one that you mentioned, who are actually receiving ongoing mental health care. It's like, for example, if you have a physical illness, if you are going to the doctor and receive treatment, then you can possibly, you know, get better or at least cope better with the disease that you have. And the same thing applies for mental health care. We need to realize that it's important that if they have been diagnosed with a mental condition, that they need to see a mental health professional, a counselor, psychiatrist, a social worker, someone that they're meeting with on a regular basis that can help them deal with the stressors that are associated with the mental illness. And it may include medication, different things that can help reduce the symptoms. But, yes, there are various individuals who do have mental illnesses, and they are actually able to cope and to lead a beautiful life with family, children, working on the job, and so forth. But the important thing is that if you do are in a relationship with someone and to recognize the symptoms when they may be going into a crisis and, you know, maybe they stop taking their medication or stop going to their appointments. You can see that sometimes it's extremely important to recognize that. And actually, a good idea would be if you are in a relationship with someone who has a mental illness is to maybe attend a couple of the counseling sessions with them so that you can be aware of the signs and the effects of the medication, then treatment, and then notice if they're actually having a problem or coping, or they may have stopped their medication or gone to their appointments. In other words, you can look at the signs that indicate that they are in crisis and they need help. But definitely, that's the stigma that people have, that when they have a mental illness, that means that life ends. No, we do have to dispel that myth and let them know that there are resources available and that you can definitely have a positive relationship with someone who has a mental health disorder, but they're also in treatment. And you can be a very good support for them by being aware of the resources available and the signs and symptoms that indicate that additional help is needed.
So what are some of the causes of mental illness? Like, you know, you might, you know, go about your daily tasks, like go to work or you go to the gym, and you know, as a person living in this world, and there are a lot of challenges in this world, can you give some of the causes that may that might be for why people are inflicted with the mental disorder?
Well, there are several causes. One of them could be that the individual just may have inherited some of the disorders, you know, due to the DNA, you know, their family history of mental disorders, you know. And a lot of times we think that individuals in other words, it's their bad luck that they've had it. But a lot of conditions can cause that. One of them could be the DNA, and they have no control over that. When you have a mental illness, it's not something that you have, like, put your name in the hat and said, I want to have this. But there are other factors that can help with it. For example, if an individual has a traumatic experience and dealing with trauma, it could be child abuse, it could be sexual abuse, it could be the loss of a loved one that was close to them. Those can trigger some type of mental health disorder if they are left untreated. you know, childhood abuse, trauma, neglect, all of those can create some type of mental illness and so forth. So those are some things that can happen. Individuals can have an episode that can cause them to become clinically depressed, you know, and so forth. Or they can be anxious about an incident that happened, you know. And then we have individuals who get older, you know, dementia and so forth. So we got to realize that these mental disorders can come from a wide range of resources, and they affect their mood, their thinking, and their behavior, okay? It could be in a blood relative, such as a parent or a sibling, stressful life situations, you know, financial problems, a loved one's death, a divorce, you know, a medical condition. In other words, if you have a chronic medical condition, such as diabetes, and sometimes if you're having difficulty dealing with that chronic condition, it can also affect you mentally. So there are various reasons why individuals experience mental health problems.
Okay, so this, what we're saying is, if you have a mental illness, should it be something that you are ashamed of, or should it be something that you are able to share with others? Because I find that a lot of people don't really kind of share it with others. They don't exactly say that there's something wrong or something that they have to deal with. And I feel that, you know, just coming from the positions in education, being as a teacher, and I think that there's something that is something that we need to be able to share with others and be able to talk about, you know, with your peers or with your, you know, just to get people to more informed, because I believe that if you have something that's wrong, when you have something that you're dealing with as a mental disorder, that you are able to develop better relationships with people when you're able to talk to them about what's actually going on with you in your mind. And it also, you never know what someone else is dealing with. If I might share that there's something going on with me, that person might be dealing with the same thing, and you might have a support system that you might grow from there. What do you think about that?
Ideally, that would be what we would want to have occur. But there's a stigma that the society has associated with having a mental illness. In other words, there's fear of, let's say, for example, I'm a supervisor. If I disclose the fact that I do have a mental illness, I might lose my job, because people do not understand that mental illnesses can be treated. There's a stigma in that, because there is an education about the various types of mental illness, people do not know what to expect, so they're not readily accepted. It's like I can go in and say, you know, I suffer from, for example, I'm a diabetic. People will be more able to relate to that than they could if I go and tell them, hey, I'm suffering from a bipolar disorder, or I'm clinically depressed. In other words, we as a society have not done a great job of educating the people, society, about these types of mental illnesses and how individuals can still perform. But it is good that they are coming out. I remember I watched a show, and that's where this young lady was actually suffering from a mental illness that she had inherited from her grandfather. But her mom was treating it with medication, but didn't want her to disclose it. So she got to a point where she was under stressful conditions, and she stopped taking her medication. But the whole thing was, don't tell them that you have this medical condition, because they will not want you to be in this position. I think she was running for an office. You will not be elected. So until we as a society can readily accept the fact that individuals with mental illnesses can be treated and then function well on their job and in society, then individuals will not be so readily to come forth. So we have to do a better job of education, making everyone aware of mental illnesses, and then dispelling the the rumors and the myths associated with it and let them know that we do have highly functioning individuals who have a mental illness and they are actually contributing greatly to the society. And I dare say that they are actually in all areas of life. You have doctors, you have lawyers, you have counselors, you have teachers, you have a lot of people who are dealing with mental illnesses, but they are not ready to discuss. And as individuals, we must continue to encourage discussion, awareness, and research about mental health.
So tell us a little bit about your business. I know that you have a thriving business in Texas. Tell us a little bit about Pieces that you work for right now.
Yes, sir, Dr. Jones. Well, I retired recently as a public educator. I spent 14 years as a mathematics classroom teacher, then over 14 years plus as a school counselor. So as a result of this, my goal was to have actually opened my own educational and counseling business. And that's what Pieces is. It's called PI Education and Counseling and Enrichment Services. And it's a multifaceted business that is designed to help basically individuals that are coming or presenting with the mental illnesses. We also want to help educators, in other words, as far as consultation, helping teachers in the classroom, helping administrators, as well as provide education enrichment for students, in other words, students who are struggling in various academic subjects, students who need additional assistance with the SAT or ACT prep, in other words, just helping to eliminate many of the barriers that individuals face in life, in other words, that keep them from being successful. We also provide, have a mediation center here that is designed to help individuals who are having issues as far as resolving disputes, you know, without actually paying the high cost of court fees and so forth. So we're actually training and consulting also is available for school districts, different campuses and so forth. So we have a team at Pieces that are equipped to provide a great deal of areas as far as education and counseling and enrichment services. And we're just pleased that we are really able to provide this service to our community. And one of our aims is to increase the risk of mental illness among people who are poor. In other words, let them know how to address them. In other words, being an advocate for suicide prevention and awareness. In other words, participating in the Out of Darkness Walk, providing education mainly to our young people. I attended an event that focused on the youth in the community, and it was a roundtable discussion. And what the young people actually listed as one of their main concerns is the mental health aspect for young people. So seeing that our young people are requesting that as one of the needs of the community, we're happy to be one of those resources, you know, that they can have in the community that can provide them assistance.
Okay, so Dr. Jones, we have people that are tuning in live. We also have people that may be tuning in on the internet. Mr. Hakeem, do we have any callers in right now that might have any questions?
Yes, we do have a few people who are listening in. To those who are listening, if you would like to ask a question of our host and our guest, please press number one and it'll let me know that you're ready to go live with your question.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, I wanted to thank Dr. Jones while we're waiting for some callers, you know, could you share, Dr. Jones, with us some of the best ways to get in contact with you or get in contact, some more information maybe from your organization?
Oh, yes, sir. You can actually visit our website at pieces, P-I-E-C-E-S-P-L-L-C.org.
And you can look at the services that we provide and also just complete the contact us information. And we can definitely give you a call, in other words, and address whatever concern that you have. You
What's
can also
number?
Give us a phone call at 254-432-7197.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Jones, once again. I guess I'll have an applause. I don't know. I know how they have an applause on the different shows. I very much appreciate everything that you have me very even enlightened myself, and I'm sure that our audience was blessed with information. And I want to just emphasize again the importance of being able to communicate with your peers and be able to talk. I know we're wanting that there's a local school district called they were starting to start with hello. You want to, every time you see someone, you know, start with hello. And that interaction there will change the perception or that day for that person. You know, we talked about at the very beginning of the show, 7 out of 10 of your conversation does be something positive with someone. 7 out of 10, 70%. You want to flip that 30 to 70% of positive affirmation for not only yourself, but for other individuals. So we have a lot of challenges. A lot of challenges that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Just waking up in the morning, getting to work. You know, I watched a clip yesterday. I don't know if you've seen this clip, Dr. Jones. Where the first thing someone does is that they wake up and they get up and they say, well, today's a bad day. You know, I'm not a morning person. And, you know, all the negativity. So I believe it was actually Steve Harvey who shared that. And he said that automatically you're going to start thinking that all that negative things are going to happen for the rest of the day. So start out expecting every day to be a good day. If you start with an expectation, you're going to have a better day. And so the team is just letting me know we have a caller. Can we have that caller come through?
Well, hello, sir. This is
yes,
Pastor
sir.
D. Townsend. I'm blessed, sir. How about yourself?
Doing all right.
Yeah, first, I just wanted to welcome you to the team. I've been listening to your show, and it was very interesting. And I thank you for touching on this subject.
Absolutely. You know, we have a moral obligation to serve others and to serve people that are in need of health. And I know for dealing with individuals that have mental illness and those types of things, you have to be able to help people. And one of the things is you can't see it. You know, when you have people with a broken leg, you can see that. If you have somebody with a black eye, you can see that, but you can't see something that's in one of people's minds. So we have to bring awareness. But
absolutely. And, you know, the only, I would have to say the only group of people that she did not mention, your guest did not mention, is preachers and pastors as well, who also have to deal with people that have mental illness, but not only mentioning the mental illness that they may have or the burnout, the frustrations that can turn to mental illness. All of these things can create, you know, monsters within, within us. And I think that that's something that we also need to touch on, because a lot of people don't understand those who serve the people also have problems as well.
Right. Well,
oh, definitely.
You get that mentality,
right,
Dr. Jones?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. Self-care is extremely important, especially for individuals mental health counseling to anyone. They need to make sure that they are self-care. A lot of times we tell the counselor, well, who is your counselor? So when you're providing the services, it's important that you do take the time for self-care, because when you are actually hearing and dealing with situations, if you do not take time for self-care, then you will cease to be of positive effect on the individuals that you are serving. So definitely individuals in the clergy, counselors, and anyone in the helping mental health profession should also be seeking self-care. And I dare say have a counselor also that you can go to, in other words, to process the things that you have been dealing with in relationships to helping others. Definitely good point.
I 100% agree with you because when we go out and we deal with those in the community, those in our churches, we have to have a way to release it. Some of us, you know, sit there quietly. Some of us pray it out. Some of us, you know, we do different things. But I agree that we have to have some type of outlet, whether it's another person or whether it's, you know, just something that we do in love. Because, and I think that, you know, for the new preachers that's coming in and those that are being called by God to serve the people, you know, this also goes a part of our pastoral teaching where we have to teach them that they must have an outlet. And even with our, you know, those that we serve, you have to have an outlet, because if you don't, it will bottle up in you and then you will end up breaking on the wrong person or people. And, you know, self-care, you're right, is very important. I decided this year that I'm going to focus a lot more on myself and my family, and, you know, and take vacations, take time off, and do things that's going to be beneficial for my family, because after my ministry is done, all that's left is my family. And so
definitely,
I can't neglect them now and expect them to be there later. So I really appreciate this this topic. It really has enlightened me, and it has helped me to see things a little more clearer. And again, I thank you for it.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you also for your input.
What was your name?
This is Pastor D. Townsend.
Can you call? Where are you calling in from?
I'm sorry, sir.
Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Detroit. I'm the host of the Jubilee Affair. We're all on the same network. I just, you know, called. I was listening to your show, and so I just decided to call in and to give my two cents.
All right.
Okay.
Jubilee Affair. Make sure y'all tune in to this show as well. I'll definitely want to look at, you know, tune in to this show as well. You know, it's a very important topic of minority mental health awareness, and we want to make sure that we continue this conversation. This is something that we still discuss today. It's not something that we should end with on this radio. We should continue this conversation. I think the last show we talked about, you're good. Okay. Are we going to talk to your brother? You're good, bro. Good, sis. Talk to your friend. Ask them if they're okay. You know, they may be dealing with something that's minor, or they may be dealing with something that it might be major, and they may need some real big help. So having these conversations with your loved ones, or with, even with people you don't know, because we want to, and for everyone to understand that mental health is something that you need to be aware of. It's something that is an ongoing issue. It's something that you can deal with as a community. We can deal with it as a family. It's something you can deal with as a team. But it's not something to totally be afraid of, because you can live an entire beautiful life with coping and dealing with a mental illness. And so we need to get rid of that stigma that we can cope with it and move forward even in the community. I believe that we have had, you know, I want to thank everybody for coming in today. I also want to thank Dr. Jones again for her. Clearly, she's a expert, and make sure that you look up Pieces, PLLC, whether you're in Texas or whether you're in North Carolina or even in Mexico, we can make sure you get those calls. I've been out here, so I'm in that area lately, so I wanted to say that as well. So, Hakeem, we have a question.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Jones. This is Hakeem Nuba. I just had a quick question. I know we only have a few minutes left. Could you just touch base very briefly on adolescent mental illness? And I'm speaking as a father of a 13-year-old with Asperger syndrome as well as ADHD. And and I'm also been dealing with depression and anxiety since I was 16. So I know that that can be passed on generationally. I just wondered if you could touch base on some of the early signs parents who may have a troubled child and not know what the child is going through.
Okay. Well, one thing that is an indication is if, for example, you see that there's a change of in the way that they're dealing with others. In other words, you may see at one time they may have been associating with friends and so forth. And then you see that maybe they don't longer want to be with individuals. A lot of times when kids become teenagers, it could just be that they no longer want to have the same interests as other people that they normally socialize with. But that's a good sign. In other words, they stop being with the friends that they normally are with friends. You see a decline in maybe their schoolwork. Maybe they used to participate in sports and they're deciding they don't want to do this or do that. The most important thing is to communicate with your child. And usually they will tell you the things, but the way you communicate with them, not as far as interrogate, but just starting a general conversation with them. When they become teenagers, unfortunately, a lot of times they do not like to be forward in telling you all the things that are going on, because a lot of times as parents, if a child tells me Johnny is messing with them, I immediately want to solve it. And then a lot of times the kids don't know how we are going to solve it, because, of course, they figure we don't really know how to solve it, because our idea of solving, maybe I'm going to run into school and take care of Johnny. But just talk to them, find out what they would like to have happen with it, and then also connect them to the school counselor in their school so that they can talk to them also. Talk to the teachers to see if they notice any changes that are going on with your child. And also have them to talk to a professional outside of the school, a counselor and so forth. Or if there's, I think an individual just called, if there's a ministry in your church where you have a counselor, a lot of churches have counselors there. But mainly seek the professional help also. And then go in as a family at first. You know, to saying that I want to better understand my child wants to better understand us. In other words, take it as if you were going to have a physical exam, you know, so that you all could be helped. Treat the mental illnesses the same way. Not that it's some, you know, stigma that we don't want to talk about.
Well, Dr. Jones, again, I wanted to thank you. Again, I know we're running out of time. I'm looking at the clock right now. We have about one, I think, Hakeem, am I right? We have about 1 minute.
Yes, about 1 minute and 30 seconds.
1 minute, 30 seconds. So I wanted to give you all some more information. Please, please, please look up Dr. Jones' information. I wanted y'all to get a chance to hear someone that is an expert with mental health, definitely someone that could be a service to anyone that's looking forward to. And remember, 7 out of 10 challenge today on Whatever It Takes Wednesday. You know, you could actually be helping someone just by changing your total mindset to from negative to positive. Look for those, when you hear those negative thoughts in your head, think about it, but also recognize that if you have one negative thought, give yourself 3 positive thoughts for yourself as well, just on a regular basis, and your days will change. We wanted to go ahead and thank Dr. Lindy Jones and Akeem today and our caller, Dr. Dante, from the Jubilee Affair. And I wanted to leave you all with a great and beautiful Whatever It Takes Wednesday. And I wanted to do that because you all simply deserve it. Have a great day, and we love you all.
Okay. Thanks for having me.